Welcome to the Hills Church Podcast. Hills Church is a four-square church in Laguna Hills, California. Visit us on the web at hillschurchoc.com.
Last week, as we were talking about worship and kind of wrapping up that series, thanks to Justin, the series Worship 101, like why we stand and why we kneel, why we clap and raise our hands, all of these different things. We're in this series, and it's now online in our podcast. But we wrapped up last week by going back to what Jesus said was the greatest commandment. Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God. It echoes what was the directive that was given in the Old Testament, that it continues this process to love the Lord your God with all of your heart and your soul and with all of your strength. For those of you that want to follow the message notes online, if you'll open the Bible app, in the menu there is, you can find events, and with location services turned on, you'll be able to pull up today's message notes as well. In fact, let's go to that passage. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds to me, right, the word all there is the hard word for me. Because what does it mean to love the Lord your God with all? All is hard for me to do. Is it for anybody else? Like, all is hard. Can is something that might work, right? Love the Lord your God as best you can, right? Or as best that you are able. But what I'm beginning to, it can kind of feel like this odd pressure to love the Lord your God with all your heart. Like, how am I supposed to rearrange my life in a way? I don't even know what that would look like. And so for many of us, it means that we just start adding more stuff to our plate, that we just start adding more activities. Well, I guess loving God means I have to go to church more. I guess loving God means I got to spend, I'm already doing like 20 minutes a day in the Bible. Maybe I need to do an hour a day. Oh, to love the Lord your God means that I'm not just going to do like a one meal fast. I'm just going for it. I'm doing a 40-day fast. How many of you guys in here have ever done a 40-day fast in here before? Yeah, just a word of advice. It's not fun. Like, the first week is pretty miserable. And you'd think that at least at the end of 40 days, you'd be happy because you're all lean and mean and trim from not eating for 40 days. Instead, the first day that you eat, you put back on 5 pounds. So, like, going to these extremes, like just adding more stuff, I don't think is what God wants to do. Maybe write this down for me. Loving the Lord, fulfilling the greatest commandment, is not about increasing our capacity. It's not about increasing our capacity. Cheech and I were talking about how when we get the boys, when they're lifting weights, not only are we getting stronger, but the more you work out, the more working out you're able to do, right? That's not what we're talking about, I don't think, here. It's not about increasing our capacity. It's not about increasing our capacity. Let me say it this way. It's about increasing our functionality. I just don't think we function well. Like, it's really hard to love the Lord when you're working overtime all the time. It's really hard to love the Lord when you're dealing with all this financial pressure. It's really hard to love the Lord with all, when your calendar barely leaves you enough room to sleep. So maybe it's not about just increasing our capacity. It's about like trying to squeeze 28 hours of activity into 24. Maybe it's about optimizing the 24 that we have. Maybe it's about reorganizing or reworking our lives in a way so that we function better. What does that kind of look like? Well, in all of these home renovation shows that go on, it's especially the ones that, like, they have you seen the ones where people are getting ready to sell their house, right? And all the things they have to do to sell their house. In fact, it's not all the things that they have to do to sell it to get it ready for the buyer. It's often all the things that they wish that they had done when they actually lived in the house, right? Like, how come I'm putting new carpet in as I'm selling, right? Why am I painting the walls now as I'm selling this place? We end up doing all the things that we, and it, what happens is that you don't even realize that things are wrong just because you get so used to looking at them. We've been in this building for a little over two months now, right? Now, I don't know if any of you remember, but like the first Sunday, the first thing everybody saw was a big old coffee stain that was right there in the middle of the hallway as we came in. Does anybody remember that coffee stain? Some of us do. And a couple people even were concerned enough about it that were like, hey, do you want me to come in and clean this? You know? But for the most part, all of us saw that. And after a while, we knew we weren't supposed to notice that. So you began to ignore it. And you begin to look past it. And after a while, what happens is that you don't even see it. You don't even see it. I think that begins to happen with our lives as well. Like, there are things in our life that have bugged us that we want to change. We're not quite sure when, or we always have an excuse why we can't make the adjustment that needs to be made. And after a while, we put on these blinders that don't even allow us to see the shifts that can or should be made in our lives. I want to see if there are some simple adjustments that we can make in our lives as they work right now that would help us to be people who fulfill the greatest commandment, that would help us to learn how to love the Lord your God with all of our strength and with all of our soul and with all of our heart. And so we're going to work backwards over these next 3 weeks. Today we're going to talk about, what might it look like? What kind of adjustment might need to be made in my life so that I can functionally love the Lord with all of my strength and increase my functionality in that area? Next week, we're going to talk about how to increase the functionality of loving God in our soul, and loving God in the third week with all of our hearts. So let's work from the backside. And this is a perfect Sunday to begin this, because how many of us in here would say, yeah, today I'm tired. I lost an hour of sleep. If that's you, raise your hand. Yeah. Okay, now let's be honest. How many of us would really say, I'm tired all the time? That we just are, I mean, in our culture today, most of us live lives where we are exhausted. Now, for us, exhausted means I'm just really tired. The word exhausted actually means that I have no more resources left, that I am completely empty. For many of us, even our downtime or our discretionary time is filled with obligations, not things that we want to necessarily do, but they're these self-imposed responsibilities and obligations that we give ourselves, and we continue to live this way even though we know that this is not good for us. In fact, much of the physical ailments that we experience in our culture today are caused by living this kind of lifestyle. Stress-related problems in our physical bodies are often just a symptom of the stress and the pressure that we live. We wonder why depression is on an increase in our culture today. It's because stress has increased. I mean, we have diseases and challenges that people deal with today that they didn't even imagine. Things like IBS, cardiovascular problems, even strokes are attributed to the increasing level of stress and pressure that we're in. And so when we think about rest, we often think of that being something we'll do when we get everything else done. Right? Isn't that the way that we tend to think about resting? In fact, in the American culture, we actually have a saying that says this: I'll rest when I'm good. You're getting there faster than you need to. Right? That is one of those self-fulfilling prophecies. Here, let me ask you. I think it's impossible for us to love the Lord with all of our strength because we have no strength to give. And so there is something that needs to be transformed in this physical space that we live in if we're going to be able to fulfill the greatest commandment. And Jesus realizes this. And as he's talking with his disciples one day, he is in this conversation. And I'd like for you to read the words that are on the screen with me that are recorded by Matthew, found in chapter 11, verses 28 to 29. Let's all read these words that Jesus speaks to his disciples. Let's read. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. If you have your Bibles open, I want you to underline these two phrases. The first phrase, the first three words in this passage, come to me. Come to me. And in verse 29, I want you to read, to underline the next three words that Jesus speaks, learn from me. Come to me and learn from me. There's something about learning to love the Lord with all of our strength that requires us to do these two things. First of all, to come to him, and then secondly, to learn from him. Another translation says it this way. Are you weary carrying a heavy burden? Then come to me and I will refresh your life. Simply join your life with mine. Learn my ways and you'll discover, this is so great, that I'm gentle, humble, and easy to please. I am gentle and humble, the Lord says. And most importantly for some of us, you need to hear this. This needs to get down. And I am easy to please. In the first thing that Jesus tells us is to come to him. Have you ever heard the phrase, oh, they're having a come to Jesus moment? Now, what does that usually mean? Negative. Why is it negative? Because it means that they've realized how messed up they are and that they're subject to what? To judgment from God. That they're having a come to Jesus moment because they have displeased God in some way and they're coming to that confronted type of thing. And yet Jesus says, what about me? If you come to me, what are you going to find out about me? I'm easy to please. I'm easy to please. We worry so much about trying to, quote unquote, make God happy that it keeps us from doing the simple things that God has established in our lives to release the complete functionality that he has designed us with. So we keep stepping around the coffee stain in the carpet. We stop seeing the wall that needs to be painted. Which, by the way, church, sometime before Easter. Now, April 21st seems like a long way away. But we got a few walls in here that need to be painted. And I want to encourage us that there's an investment that we need to make in our kids' area that we would show the community that we are ready to receive their children. I'm talking about finding rest, and I'm giving us more things to do. I'm giving us more excuses to be together. Look at what Jesus says. The Apostle Paul says this in Galatians. He says, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we will not give up. Wait a minute. Hold on, Jeff. You said that Jesus is easy to please and that we shouldn't grow weary in doing these good things. Can I just maybe change the idea of what the good thing is? Could the good thing that we shouldn't grow weary of doing is coming to him? See, we get weary because we think God is hard to please. So the more we do, maybe we'll perform our way into him liking us more. And so we keep doing all the things that we think are good, that are beneficial. When really what we're doing is we spend so much time ignoring the wall that needs to be painted, walking around the coffee stain, and we fill ourselves with other types of activity that God says, wait. See, what's the harvest that we think we're going to reap? It has to do with the way that we think about our lives. If you work harder, you will what? Be rewarded. Can I just tell you? I believe in hard work. But sometimes we take this proverb, a little sleep, a little rest, a little, what is it, laying down of the hands, and it makes for a sluggard. We're like, I'm not going to be a sluggard. I'm not going to be a lazy person. So we keep filling our lives with the doing. Could the good thing that he asks us to do is the most good thing? Come to me. There's no weariness that's a product when you come to me. And what you will reap from that time together is going to be a benefit to you. Write this down, please. So then if we don't have something to prove to God, when we stop living as if we have something to prove to God, we are finally free to acknowledge that we have something to learn from him. If we stop trying to prove ourselves to God, we finally can start learning from God in the way that he asks us to. Let me give you an example of that. You know, there's a few passages that are common in Christendom, John 3:16. But one of the other ones is Psalm 23, right? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lay down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Oh, isn't that beautiful? Right? That's like a Yanni video. Right? That is, complete with the Kenny G soundtrack. In this situation, that we're the problem. Read this differently. He's my shepherd. Okay, I shall not want, which implies what? Why do we want? We want things that maybe we shouldn't be wanting. I'm kind of flipping this around a little bit. I'm not trying to articulate and impose something on the scripture, but I want us to take a different view. Isn't that nice? He makes us lie down in green pastures. Anybody here ever had a toddler before? Have you ever had to make someone lie down? I was talking with a friend last night who put their kids, they set their clocks early and put their toddler down at 7:15, or when it said 8:15 on the clock, right? Oh, look, I let you stay up 15 minutes past your bedtime. Let's go to sleep now. It was really 7:15. The toddler did not go to sleep until 1 a.m., right? The harder you try to make someone do something, it is our nature to do what? Resist. Now, all of a sudden, this is not so easy. Sometimes God is like, Anthony, I know what's best for you. Stop! He makes me lie down. He leads me. Which means that when we lead ourselves, we don't always get to where we need to be. He restores my soul. Why does he have to restore our soul? Because we're so good at getting it all jumbled up. We're so good at like letting our lives get so cluttered and we never clean anything up. Like Jesus is the ultimate Marie Kondo. And he doesn't care how you fold your t-shirts. For some of you who don't know who that is, watch a little Netflix and have a spiritual revelation with this little Japanese lady. And I'll tell you, even though she has a spiritual side to, like, I watch all these episodes and the Lord was just telling me, every time the Lord invites Jamie onto a spiritual journey, you know what he asks her to do first? Clean out your closet. It's such a funny spiritual discipline. But in our house, we know that when God's wanting to do something in us, we have to physically make room for him. Do you see how important it is to be led by the Lord? This other passage from Jeremiah, look at what he says. I will refresh the weary, and I will satisfy the faint. Listen to this. He doesn't say, I have things for you that will refresh you. He does not say, I have things that will satisfy you. Here's my exercises and my 10 steps to a satisfying life. That's not what he says. He says, the refreshment you're looking for happens when you come to me. The weariness that you are experiencing is because you're so busy doing all this other stuff that you're not coming and getting what I have for you. I will satisfy you and give refreshment for us. And there's all types of studies that talk about the impact that the continual activity and busyness of our life has as a negative influence of the way that God designed us to function. Some crazy study said that over 85% of Americans function with a hyperactive adrenal gland because that's what is required for us to be able to maintain living at the pace that we live at. Jesus says, come to him. And then he says, learn from me. This is the second part of what Jesus says, is he says, link up with me, do life with me, take on my yoke and begin to journey with me at my pace. Because I have something that I want to teach you. When you begin to read, I don't always like to imply this, but sometimes when it's important for me to actually pause and read the scripture and think about what the implications of this are. And early in his journey, as Luke, the historian, is starting to describe what's happening around Jesus at the very beginning of his ministry, the news about him spread so much that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of his sickness. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Now, I don't want any of us to live under this kind of crazy condemnation. Or nor do I want to try to create for us an unrealistic expectation. But there's something to learn from the fact that when Jesus was the busiest, he was able to establish boundaries from the demands of people to be able to find the refreshment that he needed for his own soul. That there was something when the physical demands of his life were the heaviest, he would do what? Withdraw the most. So many times through the scripture, we find Jesus for himself taking moments to separate. There's something about learning from the model of Jesus. And the reason why this particular passage strikes me so much is because it's in the withdrawing, it's in the time of prayer that the relationship with God actually really gets cultivated. It is the... why is this so important? Listen to me. Prayer is not where you fulfill your to-do list. Prayer is where your love tank gets filled. Some of you need to write that down. Prayer is where your love tank gets filled by him. We learn to love God by allowing him to love us. You need to hear what I'm saying. You learn to love God by allowing him to love you. And unless you make space for that, it is not going to happen. Many of you know that Jordan is a music major in college, and we talk a lot about her studies, especially in music theory. John having a degree in music as well. We think that music is made with the imposition of harmony against melody, that that's what makes music. But music theory people say it's the imposition of the activity against the rest. Music isn't just when stuff is going on all of the time. Music happens when there's activity, 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 a rest. Activity, 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 a rest. There's something about our lives, if we're going to love the Lord with all of our strength, that we have to learn how to rest. I have all kinds of information in here about sleep and about all the... You can find that stuff on your own. In fact, most of us don't need to be convinced about that. We can look in the mirror, see the circles under our eyes, and know that something is not right. We can look at the way our clothes fit. Some too tight, and some too loose because we respond to the stresses in our lives in different ways. And we know that something's not right. And it becomes very difficult to love the Lord with all of our strength when we feel that He's so displeased with us. Can I just tell you one thing? The way to please God is to come to Him. The way to please God is to come to Him. And we're going to prepare to come to Him this morning by remembering the work He's already done, the work He's done so that we can rest. See, that's one of the things we remember in communion. When we take His cup, we are reminded that He died for us so that we could start functioning in the whole way that He's desired for us. When we take the bread in our life, there is something about a freedom from the anxiety and stress and pressure for our lives of having to perform and resting in what He has already done.